My body and mind have been vitalized by the Sudachi Lime.
Ooh, all right, let's pull up. I'm going to pull up the golden chainsaw voting real fast.
All right, here we go. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do the famous pre-roll for the stocking stuffer. Here we are talking about things off camera so no one knows we're here.
So, Jay, the other day when we was out dogging.
Horror for the Holidays stocking stuffer. We were actually chatting about this a little bit earlier. Halloween stuff starting to go up in stores.
Yes, yes. TJ Maxx, Home Goods. We got Menards throwing up their animatronics. Oh, man. It's going to be a big year. You know what? That 12-foot tall Wendigo, I might have to get it, Jay. It's only $350. I don't know where the hell I'm going to put it.
That's always the issue.
I already have two storage units. Why not a third?
Why not a third?
One's all my wife's Christmas decorations, basically. But yeah, I mean, we're starting to get into the season. We talked earlier when we recorded our mainline episode about Halloween fast approaching, spooktacular season. It's almost upon us.
Oh, I was setting up at Spirit the other day. Jeff, I will say, Clown in the Cornfield stuff this year.
Mm.
Spirit's also going to have some blow molds.
Really?
But the most exciting for me, and I guess for the podcast, there's going to be a little Krampus stuffy.
Mm.
And I went, well, that's a must buy.
That's cool. What kind of blow molds?
I think there's like a lot of animals.
Animals.
I think there is like a ghost wearing a witch hat.
Hmm.
I don't know if they are plug-in or if they are going to be like battery operated.
Say, I'm looking for a cool blow mold of a jack-o'-lantern. So if you run across one of those.
Ace Hardware.
Hmm.
Not, I think only online. But I think they have like the classic jack-o'-lantern blow mold.
Cool. I'd love to get a blow mold of the Halloween ones. Like all those from Halloween 4 at the beginning.
There's also some good ones at Cracker Barrel, but no, it's blow molds have been making a bit of a resurgence in recent years, which is cool because I think blow molds are cooler than inflatables.
Yeah,
I think inflatables are solid, but I think blow molds are
they're cooler.
Yep. Have that like 80s 90s nostalgia problem. If inflatables had existed in the 80s and 90s and then blow molds were later, it might be switched. Who knows? So originally we were gonna, for this episode, you and I, we were gonna
talk about dogging. Yes.
We were gonna like start ranking horror franchises, like kind of, yes. And what originally kind of sparked this idea, we've pivoted since, but what had originally sparked this idea, number one fan Spencer, just got a, big Texas Chainsaw Massacre tattoo.
Yes.
And, he had said something and I was like, oh man, have I ever told my story about, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 4, The Next Generation on the podcast? And he was like, no, I don't think you have. And he would know, he's number one fan.
Yes.
And he's like, but you should absolutely tell this story. So my friend Mike and I had gone to see the 2000s Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake in theaters. The theater had sold us tickets. And
I can see where this is going.
And so we walked in, we sat down before the trailers had even started. And this was cell phones were not common. And so before the movie had even started, someone had come in and kicked us out of the theater.
Nice.
And we had no way to contact. They wouldn't let us use a phone to contact our friend's mom to come back and get us.
Classic.
So it was just me and Mike like hanging out in the theater for hours. But so afterwards, so his mom finally shows up. And she's like, how's the movie? And we're like, we wouldn't know, they kicked us out. I think we at least got a refund.
Well, that's good.
Because it's like, why'd you sell us the tickets if you're gonna kick us out of the movie?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so we went and she's like, well, that stinks, let's go rent it. And so we went to the video store and we rented what I thought was Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. But it had words underneath that said The Next Generation.
Oh boy.
And so went back to Mike's house. And we started watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Next Generation. I went, well, you know, standard slasher movie, felt pretty standard. And then it became the strangest movie I had ever watched.
Oh boy.
At least at that point
up
in time.
Until then.
Yeah, we've watched much stranger since, but I remember sitting there being like, This is what all the hype's about. This was enough to make a remake. This is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre that everyone loves.
That's funny.
I was so confused just beyond belief about what was happening. And if you've seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre 4, you know how weird it gets, because like, who's all right? Who?
Matthew McConaughey.
I believe a young McConaughey is in it.
Mm.
And he is one of Leatherface's like cousins, but he's more the star of the movie than Leatherface is.
Yeah.
And then there is also like maybe some weird like government conspiracy involving the Sawyer family.
Sure, why not?
It's a very weird movie, and I was just like, I don't know if I like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh boy. I don't know if I like this guy.
But then, you know, it wasn't until after watching the movie and then seeing those words, the next generation at the bottom, I went, oh, okay. This is something completely different than Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And a couple of years later I saw the original. And gotta see the remake. I mean, I've seen the remake countless times. I think I've seen both of them countless times since. But yeah, it was just this really funny moment of like, this is what the big deal was about?
Wait a minute. This is the hype?
Like, how do we get from like weird eldritch governmental beings to just a family murdering people like in the remake? Like, why not include all that stuff in the trailer? Oh, because they're not the same movie.
Yep.
Anyways, let's dive into the meat of the episode.
What we came here to do.
Listeners, by the time this episode comes out, voting for the Fangoria Chainsaw Awards 2026 will have ended. But this is the last day to do it.
We're going to give you the actual results. Choices by the two people who matter.
So yeah, go and see based off of what we say, what won. I assume what will have already happened. But yeah, we're gonna do this live on the air.
Things are in motion that cannot be undone.
All right, best wide release movie. 28 years later, Bone Temple, Backrooms, The Bride, Faces of Death, Forbidden Fruits, Hokum, Leviticus, Obsession, Send Help, Weapons, or Didn't See / Skip category. But I know we've seen a bunch of these.
Out of those choices, probably Obsession.
I did this previously. I did 28 Years Later, Bone Temple. That's my second favorite movie of the year. But I think Obsession is solid. There are some real good ones on there. Backrooms
was good.
Backrooms, I mean, Hokum.
Send Help wasn't bad either.
Also, Weapons is solid, yeah, Weapons, although the Sky Gun is weird.
Yeah.
I'll still never understand Sky Gun.
I don't know. I don't know what the hell is going on in that, Jay.
Just for one, like, for 5 seconds, there's just a CGI gun in the sky.
Yep. Sure is.
All right, so Jeff put down Obsession. All right. Best limited release. I don't think I've seen any of these. I don't know if you have.
Hit me.
Dust Bunny.
Nope.
Marama.
No.
Queens of the Dead.
No.
Which I think that's George Romero's kids movie, I believe is Queens of the Dead. The Serpent's Skin. Touch Me, I know is like an alien with like orgasm powers or something.
No, but now I'm interested in that. As horror for the holidays, resident pervert.
Didn't see / skip category.
Skip.
Best streaming premiere.
Oh boy.
Also don't think I've seen any of these.
I may have.
I Am Frankelda.
No.
Influencers.
No.
Mother of Flies.
No.
Reflection in a Dead Diamond.
Nope.
That sounds like a giallo. VHS Halloween.
Yes, okay. I did watch that one.
All right, so you're going to put that down?
I might as well. I mean, that's the only one I saw, so.
I heard it was solid.
Yep.
Also, the new VHS is going to be SCP.
Yep, creepypasta SCP stuff incoming.
Weird. Best international movie.
Okay, here we go.
Alpha. Exit 8. Marama. Reflection in a Dead Diamond. Well, once again, well, this might be a giallo based off the title and the international movie. The Wailing was the last one.
What was the first one?
Alpha?
No, I don't think I saw that.
Exit 8 is based off the video game. But is also coming to Shudder, I think, like this week. So I've not had a chance to see it.
No, I saw the movie Alpha that's about cavemen taming the first dogs, but I don't think that's what they're talking about.
No, I don't think that's what this is. And it could be. Do you want to vote for it just
yes,
because?
All it, right. It reminds me of that movie, which I like. So there you go. Alpha wins. You see how fickle the awards process is.
Best first feature. Backrooms. Buffet Infinity, which I've heard is awesome. I've heard Buffet Infinity's fucking wild. Dust Bunny. Iron Lung, Queens of the Dead.
Mm. Iron Lung was pretty good, but so was Backrooms. I'll have to give it to Backrooms.
All right.
Kane deserves, I mean, he's 19, I think. 19 or 20 years old.
All right, Jeff. Here it's coming in. Here's the big one. Best lead performance. Top of the list. Zazie Beetz, They Will Kill You.
Oh, boy.
Doesn't need anything else. No. Jesse Buckley, The Bride. Peter Dinklage, The Toxic Avenger.
No.
Chiwetel Ejiofor for The Backrooms. Ray Fiennes for 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple. Rachel McAdams for Send Help. Indy Navarette for Obsession. Toby Poser for Mother of Flies. Adam Scott for Hokum. And Sophie Sloan for Dust Bunny.
This is tough. Ray Fiennes was very good.
He was great. The Iron Maiden scene is
maybe
one of my favorite things.
He really carried. I mean, he carried both parts of the Bone of 28 Years Later, but especially the second half.
I hope we get a. They have confirmed the third one, I believe. Even though good. Bone Temple didn't do well, they've confirmed that they're going to finish it out. And I wonder, like, maybe we'll get a little Ray Fiennes at the end, hopefully, or something.
That would be cool. But They Will Kill You was also a really good lead performance.
That's the thing. Jesse Buckley as The Bride was, but, even though The Bride wasn't great.
It wasn't a great movie, but it was a pretty good performance. So I will give it that. But, I mean, so was the Backrooms performance was really good, too. I mean, so was... This one is the toughest one.
That's
I think.
The thing. Obsession is...
Obsession
Indy
is
Navarette
on there,
is the best one on there.
On there, too. I'm going to have to give it to Obsession, I think.
That's the thing. If it was Bear, you'd be like, no, I'll give it, like I'd give it to somewhere else. But like the fact that it is the indie, you're like, okay, I understand this.
Tough one. Definitely tough.
Best supporting performance.
Okay, here we go.
Stacey Clausen for Leviticus. Jacob Elordi for Frankenstein. Elle Fanning for Predator Badlands. Regina Hall for Scary Movie. David Johnson for The Long Walk. Amy Madigan for Weapons, Mads Mikkelsen for Dust Bunny, Dacre Montgomery for Faces of Death, Jack O'Connell for 28 Years Later Bone Temple, and Sigourney Weaver for Dust Bunny. I don't even know if she was in it. I've not seen Dust Bunny.
I have not seen Dust Bunny.
But man, I'd vote for Sigourney Weaver.
I mean, the one I enjoyed the most, Elle Fanning in Predator Badlands.
All right. My thought was, I'm like, Jeff's either going to do Predator Badlands or Frankenstein.
You see that, Android? Wood.
Best Director, Curry Barker, Obsession. Zach Krieger, Weapons. Naya DaCosta, 28 Years Later, Bone Temple. Brian Fuller, Dust Bunny. Maggie Gyllenhaal, The Bride. That's a bit of a stretch.
I don't know.
And I enjoyed The Bride.
I was going to say... We thought it was so weird that we enjoyed it, but definitely would not be winning any awards
right.
for directing. You know, I think this is going to be an Obsession sweep, honestly.
All right, we got Obsession. Best Screenplay, Curry Barker for Obsession, Zach Krieger for Weapons, Alex Garland for 28 Years Later Bone Temple, Iza Mazzi and Daniel Goldhaber for Faces of Death, and Damian McCarthy for Hokum.
No, I've got to give it to Obsession again. Because, I mean, it did a story we've seen a bunch of times before, but actually included some twists and turns that were surprising. So,
Best Cinematography. Ooh, Sean Bobbitt for 28 Years Later, Bone Temple. Jeremy Cox for Backrooms. Andrew Draws Palermo and Rena Yang for Mother Mary. Nicole Hirsch Whitaker for Dust Bunny or Colm Hogan for Hokum.
I think I got to give this one to Bone Temple. Some of those scenes, the cinematography was amazing.
I said, it looks so cool. Like,
yeah, if there's one thing you could say about that movie for sure is that it looks the coolest of any movie I've seen this year.
Now, immediately, I feel like this is missing literally the answer for best score. Primate is not on the list. That's clearly the best score.
Oh, man, they didn't include it.
The fucking John Carpenter-esque score for Primate. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. Gavin Brivik for Faces of Death. Alexander Despalt for Frankenstein. Hildur Gudnadottir for 28 Years Later, Bone Temple. Daniel Hart for Mother Mary, or Kane Parsons and Ido Van Bremen for Backrooms.
I did. The Backrooms soundtrack was pretty cool. But honestly, I mean, it's the thing that sticks out to you the most. I think we got to go Bone Temple.
Yeah. Like, once again, the Iron Maiden scene is so good.
I mean, that's a critical part of why you like it so much.
It doesn't hurt. Yeah. Best costume, Olivia Barrow and Catherine Leterrier for Dust Bunny, Kate Hawley for Frankenstein, Carson McCall and Gareth Pugh for 28 Years Later, Bone Temple, Sandy Powell for The Bride, David Tabert, Queens of the Dead.
Honestly, I got to give that one to The Bride. Definitely some interesting looks and interesting costumes in that movie.
I agree. All right. Best makeup effects.
Okay.
Chris Gallagher, Nadia Stacy, and Scott Stoddard for The Bride. Mike Hill for Frankenstein. Millennium FX for The Toxic Avenger. John Nolan for 28 Years Later, Bone Temple. Aryan Tweeton for Lee Cronin's The Mummy.
I didn't really like Lee Cronin's The Mummy, but I mean, it did have some pretty cool makeup effects in it. But I don't know.
And I don't know if makeup effects include gore, but when I did this, I literally thought about the person that was skinned alive in Bone Temple. And I went, those effects were pretty good.
That's what I'm leaning towards is Bone Temple, because it did have a lot of interesting makeup and stuff in it. Some stuff you don't see every day. So I think I'll go Bone Temple on that one.
Best creature effects. Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay. Legacy effects for Dust Bunny. Studio Gillis and Weta Workshop for Predator Badlands. Millennium FX for Primate. Werner Pretorius and Amazing Ape Productions for Backrooms. Jim Henson's Creature Shop for Five Nights at Freddy's 2.
Pretty much. Yeah.
You're a big Weta Workshop fan, right?
I was going to say, it's between Primate and Predator for me. And I think if you're going just pure creature effects, I'd say Predator probably wins out over it. Because, I mean, Primate only has the one creature. Predator had a lot of alien creatures in it.
Best documentary feature. 1,000 Women in Horror. I'd watch that. That sounds fun. Chain Reactions, which I believe is about the making of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. In Search of Darkness, 95 to 99. The Last Sacrifice, which, listeners, correct me if I'm wrong. I think that might be about Wicker Man, but I could be very wrong on that one. Strange Journey, The Story of Rocky Horror. If you've not seen any, we can always do Didn't See.
I was going to say, apparently The Thing Expanded must not have made it onto that, because that was a really good documentary. No, I don't think I saw any of those.
All right. Best nonfiction series or miniseries. The Boulé Brothers, Dragula, Titans. Grave Conversations, which I think is David Dastmalchian from Late Night with the Devil. He and his guests lay in coffins and talk to each other. The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs.
We know what we're picking.
Monstrum or Sven Gulli. I already clicked on
The Last Drive-In. The best that's ever done it. The best that ever probably will do it.
Best series.
Okay.
One, surprised as much people loved it, I'm surprised Welcome to Derry is not even on this list. Welcome to Derry. Alien Earth.
That was pretty good.
The Creep Tapes. Something Very Bad is Going to Happen. The Vampire Lestat, or my favorite show of the year, Widow's Bay.
Well, I will defer to you, Jay. If you say Widow's Bay, I'll say Widow's Bay.
Widow's Bay is so dang good. Episode 8 is fantastic.
I did not know they had done a Vampire Lestat series.
I think it's new-ish. And it's and like, I don't, but I don't know what it follows. I don't know, because I think, wasn't there also a recent remaking of Interview with a Vampire? Like, I don't know if it's in that same universe.
I don't, honestly, I think I heard something about that, but I'm not sure. But yeah, as the audience and Jay well knows, I'm a werewolf slash vampire sexual, so I tend to consume all content related to those two things.
Best video game.
Okay, this one I could probably weigh in on.
Fatal Frame 2 Crimson Butterfly Remake. Little Nightmares. No, I'm Not a Human. Resident Evil Requiem or Silent Hill F.
Was not a fan of Silent Hill F. I did like Resident Evil Requiem, but it was pretty short for a big budget game.
I think the shortness really hurt it. I think the weird, like, although I enjoyed the switching back and forth.
Yeah, it was kind of, it felt forced at times.
And like, for, Leon's able to upgrade all of his weapons, but Grace gets stuck with all the shit still for, like, the entire time.
You know what? Let's throw it to the indie, one I had a lot of fun with, very cheap to get to, No, I'm Not Human. That was a good one.
Also, Resident Evil, bring back the fucking merchant. The fact that he was in 4 and he's fantastic, and then 5 rolls around and they're like, no more merchant. And then I was like, well, maybe they'll put the merchant in 9. Maybe they'll just bring him back. Who fucking cares if he shows up? He wasn't in 9. I was so mad.
Honestly, 9 feels like the theatrical cut of a movie, and you know there's like a director's cut waiting for you somewhere.
That's a good way to put it. That's the thing. It feels like how I feel people talked about Resident Evil 3 remake, where they're like, this feels incomplete. Yep. This feels...
And you know fucking Capcom. They're going to come out 2 years from now. The complete version of Resident Evil 9.
Oh, they've already said, like, well, they added that weird, like, Leon Kennedy must die. Mm-hmm. But, like, they've already said, like, oh, there's going to be DLC. And it's like, that adds to the game. And it's like, oh, well, then why wasn't this just in it? Like, come on.
The DLC curse.
Best kill. You can put any kill from any movie of the year.
I mean, it's got to be one of the ones from They Will Kill You, right?
I mean,
there are some good ones, though. I don't know. A couple of the primate kills are pretty fucking badass.
The ripping the dude's jaw off in the bed, that was fun.
The bed kill, that one flashed in my mind, and the fist fight with the guy on the porch that ultimately ends in him dying. That was a good kill.
I will say, Jeff, Gnomesick technically falls into...
That's true.
You could have Papa Gnome or whatever.
That's true. Papa Gnome's kill could be on there, Jay. I mean, the Predator had some pretty good kills, too.
Also, I think doesn't have to be limited to if Alien Earth had a kill you really like. I assume it doesn't have to be a movie. It
doesn't have to be a movie. No, Alien Earth, I will say, if you watch it, make sure you get through the first couple episodes because it picks up after that.
That's what I heard. I heard the first couple episodes were kind of slow. The
first couple, yeah.
Other than, Eyeball Alien? Everyone loves Eyeball Alien?
I mean, it's kind of similar in regards to Welcome to Derry. It's also kind of slow in the first couple. But I think if you watch the whole thing, you'll enjoy it more than if you stop after the first couple.
Although, man, those opening episodes were the ones I liked the most because Pennywise was in them the least.
Yes. See, that's the double-edged sword of It we could talk about is It is at its best when the main villain is absent from the story.
Yep.
I think, you know, may point to a problem that Stephen King has in several of his stories where the payoff is not nearly as interesting as getting there.
Right. Have I told the story about reading Stephen King's Insomnia?
No.
So we were at an airport. We were flying back, I think, from my grandparents' house. And I didn't have a book to read. And at the Austin airport, they have a bunch of bookstores inside. And so I was, like, looking around for something. And I went, you know, I want something kind of spooky. And I think I was in high school. Maybe I was in college. I went, I want something kind of spooky. I'm going to grab this Stephen King book called Insomnia. I read the back. It sounded interesting. So I grabbed it. And I think it's in like 3 parts or something like that. And the first part of the book, I was like riveted. I was like, this is creepy.
That's how he gets you, Jay. That's how he gets you.
This is creepy. This is terrifying. And then literally like read the first page of the second part. And I think my literal reaction was, I flipped back to the previous page, read it again, flipped, and I went, How did I get here? What happened in this one page that...
That is my biggest criticism of Stephen King and why I do not like to... Honestly, I am a strong proponent of his novellas are his best work. So his short stories and things I love way more than his novels because he is a meandering writer who will go down every single tangent and alternate path he can think of before you finally get to the point. And when you do get there, 9 times out of 10, the payoff is fucking garbage compared to the premise.
Right.
It's just, it is exhausting.
And then I think like all the lore he has added to stuff since.
And
like,
yes, and constantly expanding every single thing that anybody likes. He does like, oh yes, but did you see that I connected it to 3 other books? And it's like, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, you really don't have to.
You didn't have to.
That's what the Dark Towers are for. That's, you can connect all the things that way.
Yeah. This is what the ghouls on Reddit are for.
Anyway, favorite kill.
I'm going with the bed kill in primate.
Bed kill in primate. All right.
I could still picture several primate kills very clearly.
I think I also went with something from primate. I think I might have gone with that one. Or maybe when he throws the guy over the side of the pool.
Yes, that is also a really good one. Not a kill, but a moment of violence when he goes out on the line over the pool and like scalps that woman, basically.
Yep.
That was also very memorable.
All right, Jeff, you voted.
I voted. Where's my sticker?
Oh, here's your sticker.
Thank you. Now everyone can know what a good citizen I am.
Anyways, good citizen of Horror Town.
Yes.
Where
we would live, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Or is he just talking about the United States today?
Boom. Oh, topical.
Here we're coming with the topical humor, ladies and gentlemen.
If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places at Horror4Holidays. That's Horror4Holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Talk to us on our Gmail thing that he just listed off. Give us reviews on the podcatchers. We're on all of them. Apple, Spotify, everywhere you can get a podcast, we're lurking, waiting for your 5-star review. And why are we waiting for it, Jay? Because we only read the 5-star ones.
We don't read 4-star reviews.
We're not going to waste our fucking time reading anything less than a 5-star review. And you know what? We're even more likely to read it if you title it 0 stars if I could, because we know that you're a real sicko who actually listens to these shows.
You disliked it so much you went around and gave it 5 stars.
And you know what? If you are a marketing person who wants to get in contact with us for any reason, if you do not title your email 0 stars if I could, well, no, you don't actually listen to the show.
I think that's a good rule.
And you know what? We're not hawking your bullshit if you can't even be bothered to listen to our show.
We're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. Go check them out. All sorts of great stuff out there. I believe Holidays After Dark just did a Christmas in July special, so very exciting there. Yes. And I guess this is where we will announce our next movie for our next mainline episode.
Indeed.
Jack Kane is a Houston Vice cop who's forgotten the rule book.
Oh boy.
His self-appointed mission is to stop the drug trade and the number one supplier, Victor Manning. While involved in an undercover operation to entrap Victor Manning, his partner is killed, and a sinister newcomer enters the scene. Dark Angel.
Dark Angel, you say?
I believe it's an alien that shoots CD discs at people.
Okay.
You got from me. From 1990.
You got me so far. Dark Angel?
Dark Angel. It's got Dolph Lundgren in it.
Oh, fuck yeah. Here we go.
And it's on Tubi, so you got a way to watch it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Hitting it out of the park with the opening Werewolf Santa, followed up by Dark Angel.
Yeah, there we are. So we'll see you next week for Dark Angel. Thanks for listening.
Oh, and don't forget to catch us over on the last episode we did with Jerry D, where we were blood beating off and dogging.
Man, I JRD's not reached out about coming back. Coming back on.
Oh wow, Jay, I'm shocked.
Can't imagine why. Anyway, thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Probably like his most hated episode ever.
Oh, easily. Like, there's a reason we're not multi-award winning.
Oh man, don't open that wound.